Across America, it's The Weekend with Joe Pags. To talk to Joe, call 800-501-7080. And now, The Weekend. Here's Joe Pags.
Great radio stations across the land, joepags.com. All the social media there, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email, the Parlay app is there as well, or Parler, a lot of you like to say. Also, go and subscribe to the newsletter. Thousands of people got the newsletter this morning telling you who's going to be on the program. We've got a lot going on. Lots of interviews to get to. There will be a Pags parody about our friend Robert Francis Beto O'Rourke. And we're going to talk a lot about climate change, too. Because the climate change crisis is happening. And if you don't believe that, then you're a hater and you're a racist and you're a homophobe and you don't like people of color and you're a misogynist and you hate the children. But only the children that have been born already. If the children haven't been born already, then you're a hater and you're a piece of garbage if you don't want to kill the children before they're born. Oh, no, that's all true, too. But, yeah, we had a bunch of wacky people up there on the stage on CNN. Seriously, gun to my head, I don't know the channel of CNN on my television. Now, I have watched CNN. Hell, back in the day, I was on CNN a lot. But if I have to watch CNN, I literally have to look it up every time. I don't know where it is. It's not one of my favorites. CNN did horribly in the ratings. Horrible. The lowest rated cable news outlet that entire night. 7 hours, they had a bunch of nut jobs with nutty ideas on stage on CNN speaking to the globe. Well, I mean, the few people that wanted to tune in, but they're speaking to the globe. I guess I just don't understand. But let's talk about some of what these candidates had to say. Because it's kind of fun to break it down. I don't have all the quotes in front of me. And I didn't watch any of this thing, but I had people send me videos and send me audio and send me quotes. And I'll just give you a few things. Now, the most interesting thing that happened at the climate change town hall, I don't know if they call it climate change town hall or climate crisis town hall. I'm not sure which one it was. Bernie Sanders would like to abort a bunch of babies in the third world. I am for abortion to save the climate. Now keep in mind, the radical left wants abortions for population control. Everybody who wants abortion to be legal and available, and they want more of them, has already been born. Keep that in mind. So abortion cannot affect them directly. They're going to be just fine. Just like saying, I'm not going to have any more children because climate change, that's only said by people who already have been born and already are alive. It's easy to say things like that when you're already alive and nobody's going to kill you because of climate change. So Bernie Sanders would like to, let's step it up on abortions. Let's get more abortions in the third world especially. Way too many people. Kamala Harris is going to limit how much meat people can eat. She didn't say may, she said can. So she's somehow going to, through photosynthesis or something else, change our ability to eat as much meat as we want. I don't know how you do that. Because, you know, the cow's farting, that's the cause of climate change. Anna, just a heads up, I'm not going to take any phone calls from people calling to tell me cows don't fart. I every single time I say the cow fart, which is funny to me, somebody calls in to say, oh, they burp, they don't fart, they regurgitate. I really don't need to know the digestive system. So between you and me, no calls on correcting me when I say cow farts.
Got it, no calls.
Cool. Just wanted to make sure that we're on the same page. So we need to stop people eating so much meat because the cows and the farting. Now, maybe I'm Captain Obvious. Captain Obvious! But if I stop eating as much meat as I do, we won't actually be using the cows for meat. They're just going to be alive. And live cows fart more than cows that have been slaughtered so we can eat them for food. I just want to put it out there. My food consumption, my meat consumption, actually is saving the planet. So we had that, which was nice. Then we had questions like, what would you do to stop the effects of climate change on communities of color? Okay, a couple of things. I'm Italian, Southern Italian, so white supremacists don't like my kind. I've got olive skin, but I'm not considered a person of color. To be a person of color, you have to be black or of African descent. You have to be Hispanic, which, by the way, Hispanic is not a race. It's actually an ethnicity, but for some reason, they're considered of color as well. I'm darker than many Hispanic people. You have to be, I guess Asian is in there, although Asians are under attack because God knows there are too many Asians at Harvard. That's what you're told to believe. You've got to be American Indian. And again, I'm darker than some American Indians, so it's not really about skin tone, although we're saying of color. It's such a horribly denigrative term, of color, because that's actually and literally suggesting that white people have no color. Now, when somebody describes me as white, I wonder if they mean white like a piece of paper, because I'm clearly not. I don't know anybody who's, I mean, even albinos, that rare condition, aren't literally white. So maybe we could stop the BS with the of color, people of color, women of color, communities of color. But that question was actually asked of one of the idiots at the CNN town hall. What would you do to stop the effects of climate change on communities of color? Because we don't care about the communities not of color, those translucent white people. We don't care the effects on those communities. But what about the communities of color? Climate change has gone from global cooling in the 70s, ice age is on the way, to global warming later in, the 90s and 2000s, to what? That doesn't work either. Let's go climate change. And we're told that we must do something about the climate or else we're all dead. We'll die in 11 years or 12 years. AOC says 12 years. The researchers that did the study that she was quoting said, well, no, she's misinterpreting it. And now there are people saying, well, no, it's 11 years. So we lost a year somewhere. We're all going to be dead in 11 years. Now, keep in mind, in my lifetime, we have been warned about the impending ice age. We'd all die and we'd be frozen in our beds. And then we were told that we're going to run out of fish in the sea. Talking about fish in the sea, there was an AOC quote this week that she fears because there won't be any fish in the sea soon or something. Or she wants the fish back in the water. I don't even know what it means. I didn't know the fish were out of the water. But we have been warned by these climate change idiots for generations that there wouldn't be enough fish to feed us. So realize, just peel back all the layers. What these people are actually saying is we have been born, we are alive, and now that we are alive, we don't want any more people. And we're going to scare you into stopping having babies. I don't want you to have any more babies because we're going to run out of fish. The climate's going to freeze or it's going to melt us all. And people of color are being targeted by the racist climate change. And stop having babies. Kill them before they're born. That's what we're supposed to believe. Now, I wonder, a couple of questions. 1-800-501-7080. 1-800-501-7080. Did you watch any part of the climate crisis or climate change town hall? I just like to call it KICKIT. KICKITH. It's an acronym, CCTH. KICKITH. Okay? Did you watch any part of it? Did you waste any of your time watching these clowns, this clown show? on stage on CNN talking about the hoax that is climate change. My good people, we are not causing climate change. Not because we drive cars or eat meat or have babies. It's such a ruse. I mean, I would think it was hilarious if so many people didn't believe it. It's ridiculous to think cows farting are going to be our demise. How stupid is that? 1-800-501-7080, joepags.com. We're coming right back. It's the weekend with Joe Pags. 1-800-501-7080. 1-800-501-7080. My website is joepags.com. You can sign up for all the social media. Go and make that happen. Also, just scroll down a little bit and you can subscribe for the newsletter. Newsletter goes out before every program, just a few minutes before the show, saying who's going to be on the show, what's going to be on the show, parody or not, and the topics that we'll be covering. It doesn't cost you anything. I'm not going to spam you with a bunch of advertising. It's just an easier way to find out what's going to be on the program. And frankly, to let you know if you're interested in some of the stuff we're going to talk about. So the climate change. Oh, and by the way, people are welcoming me back. I guess I forgot that I had the hernia surgery. Well, I've been out for a couple of weekends because we had Labor Day last week. And then before that, I had the hernia surgery. And it's fine. It's all good. It's still healing. It's going to take a while before I can get in the gym and start throwing big heavy weights around again. But I appreciate your concern and the thoughts going into my healing process. Everything's just fine. We got rid of Herbie. Herbie the hernia is no more. And we put whatever was coming out through the hernia back in and back where it belongs, which is good. That's always good to have the stuff inside and keeping it where it needs to be. But I appreciate your concern. A lot of people have been very nice about it. Climate change and the idea that we're somehow causing it is a very hot topic brought up by, believe it or not, the 20-something-year-old bartender from New York who probably will lose after one term in the House of Representatives, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez doesn't know anything about anything. Not being mean, I'm taking the facts of what I know, what I know that she has said, and I realize she doesn't know anything. I guess she tweeted that she couldn't sleep at 3 a.m. or woke up at 3 a.m. concerned about the climate crisis. There's something very wrong with this rich kid, grew up in Westchester, the daughter of an architect, who's pretending like she's every American and that she knows something that we don't know. As she's driven around in large black SUVs, we should all stop driving large black SUVs. It's a comedy. It's like a sitcom. It is. But she brings up this and the Green New Deal, all this crap. And then every stupid person running on the left is now hanging their hats on it. The most interesting thing that happened in that town hall the other day that I didn't watch, and most of you didn't either, was Joe Biden's eye started bleeding. Like internally, like all of a sudden the white of his eye was turning bright red and nobody knows why. Joe Biden, by the way, am I wrong when I say his family should pull him aside and say, Joe, listen, it was fun. But we got to look out for you now. We can't just let you keep on going out there because we fear that you're going to kill your legacy. Joe, love you, but you got to stop. I mean, I'm not asking much, am I? I actually feel bad. I realize most conservatives don't feel bad for Joe Biden. And those of you who think it should be badly, it's not. That's an adverb that describes how you do something. This is how I feel, which is different. It is bad. I don't feel badly. I feel badly if I'm like, you know, filling the pillowcase or something. I don't like how I'm doing this. I feel badly. Anyway, at the end of the day, Joe Biden is embarrassing himself after 40 or 50 years of being a senator or the vice president. And because of it, he's like a millionaire. I don't know how that happens. I don't know why his family is allowing him to do this because he doesn't know where he is, doesn't know what he's talking about, keeps on touching women inappropriately, even when they say stop. I mean, it's kind of nuts. So he shouldn't even be involved in this. He can't remember what the website is. But at the end of all this, let's really be smart for a second. They changed it from global cooling to global warming when they were called out on both of those, and both those were debunked. Now they're calling it climate change because you can't argue that the climate changes. Of course it does. I agree. Climate does change. Yes, climate change is happening. But an animal, cows that have been around for millennia, aren't causing it. We had some of the hottest temperatures ever on planet Earth when the glaciers melted. There were no SUVs around. And the idea that simply having children and continuing to populate the world is causing it is stupid. It just doesn't make sense. Yet they keep on perpetrating this lie. One wonders if anybody will vote for one of these leftist dorks because they keep on pushing this lie about climate. Oh, and climate also hates black people for some reason. It's attacking people of color. Come on, man. It's just stupid. We go to the phone lines. I appreciate you taking the time. 1-800-501-7080. Steve is in Washington. Steve, what's going on?
Hey, Joe. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
All right. So I got two things to say here about the cows. Why aren't they saying anything about the lambs in the Middle Eastern countries where they eat lamb all the time? So that's
because Middle
one.
Eastern countries can Middle Eastern countries can do no wrong. That's why. Go ahead.
Okay. So number two, the thing about this climate change stuff is that the media and advertisers and the K through 12 education system, the people who run the education systems, they're all buying into it, and so are the advertisers for companies. They're buying into it. So what I'm seeing is that probably in 2 to 3 generations, we're going to have a group of people that have been brainwashed and probably going to go that way because they're ramming it down young kids' throats. And when they become adults, they're going to be brainwashed.
Well, I hear you, and you're right about that, but I think that we have to keep on pushing back. People who are smart, people who have brains, people who can say, yeah, that's not happening. Cows aren't farting so much that it's making us hotter. It's just not happening. So we just have to be smart and keep the truth out there. I mean, is there a sea change happening? Yes. A lot of these young idiots think that socialism is good. Seriously. A lot of these people would vote for a Bernie Sanders who thinks food lines are good. Like in the former Soviet Union. People waiting in line for food is good, he said. Food lines are good. And either he believes it or he's just a clown show. Well, we know what the answer is. I don't think he really believes it because he's not waiting in line for food, is he? He's also a millionaire all of a sudden. That's weird as a politician. 1-800-501-7080, joepags.com. Definitely want to hear from you on this. We also have a Pags parody. When we come back, I can't stop making fun of Beto O'Rourke because Robert Francis Beto O'Rourke is also, he's just a liar pretending to be something he's not. Keep it here. Much more to come on The Weeknd.
This is The Weeknd with Joe Pags.
Great radio stations across the land, joepags.com. All the social media there. Go follow on Facebook and Twitter. The P-A-R-L-E-R Parlay or Parlor app is over there, too. Go and check that out. Sign up for the newsletter. You got to get an email a day. What's the process? You can't get an email a day from me? What are you, racist? Is that what it is? No. So get an email. Subscribe for the newsletter. Make sure you do that. And you'll be up to date on what's happening on the Joe Pag Show. That's Monday through Friday on 130 radio stations. The Weeknd with Joe Pags, a couple of hundred on The Weeknd, and we love being on each and every one of these stations. Going to get into more of your phone calls on whether you watched this climate change town hall. I really want to know if you believe the climate change BS, that we're somehow causing the temperature to go up, what is it, 0.1 of 1% or something of a degree? Something stupid, nominally stupid. And who knows if we're still in a warming trend from getting rid of the glaciers or if we're actually in a cooling trend. From what I understand, there is no change in our temperature on average at all. Yet the media keeps on perpetrating the lie. Oh, it's the hottest summer we've ever seen in recorded history. It's the worst winter for the polar bear ever in history because you drive SUVs. You ever notice when you're watching your local news, you're like, whoa, we're setting a record high temperature today. It's the hottest it's been since 1898. Oh, wait a second. What was going on in 1898? Where we are, whatever area it happens to be that we're setting a new record since 1898, didn't have any SUVs in 1898. The population was way lower in 1898. I'm guessing cows weren't farting as much in 1898. I mean, so why was it so hot then? What the hell happened? And they have no answer. Because it's legitimately stupid to think that we're somehow causing something. Now, do I want clean air and clean water and clean food? Absolutely. Are you kidding me? I don't know if you notice, I'm a conservative, but I am alive. And I would like clean water, clean food, healthy air, my family to be safe and secure for more than 12 years. But I'm not so naive to believe that if I don't do something like sell my SUV or pay to abort babies, that I'm somehow the problem. It's legitimately stupid. 1-800-501-7080, 1-800-501-7080. Robert Francis Beto O'Rourke. Si se puede, Beto. ¿Dónde están los frijoles? ¿Por qué no queso? Okay, so O'Rourke is pretending, fourth generation Irish American, pretending he's Hispanic. That's the fact. He's not hiding it. Every bumper sticker in Texas where I live says B-E-T-O. Every billboard says B-E-T-O. His name is Robert Francis O'Rourke. He's a big doofus. At the climate change town hall, he said his 8-year-old was telling him how cow farts and how we're somehow adversely affecting the climate and wanted to know what we should do to get everybody to understand. His 8-year-old said that. His 8-year-old who learned that crap from him. Not like the 8-year-old woke up and said, Daddy, Father, I did the research, and it turns out here's what's causing climate change. Please to bring it up during the town hall. Thank you, Father. Now, that didn't happen. The poor 8-year-old's doofus father told him what to think about climate change. So I can't help it but to make fun of this clown. It's just in my blood. I decided this week for the Pags parody to go back to my people's music, Italian music. And I based this on a song you may or may not be familiar with. If you're younger, you might not know the song. If you're older, you definitely know the song. So here's a Pags parody. Hey, Beto.
A boy went back to El Paso.
Another song, do you?
Holes are down, nowhere to go. Why he's running, I don't know. But wait a minute, here I go.
Everybody, let's go. Come on.
Hey, Beto, you're not a Mexicano. Hey, Beto, even when you eat a taco, go, go, go. Put down those Doritos. You're a white dude acting like your parents came across the border. Hey, Beto, don't want to see you skateboard. Hey, Beto, why do you use the F word? Hey, Beto, you're not a Mexicano. Try an enchilada, but it doesn't change your father. Hey, Beto, you want to take away our guns?
Yes.
You'd open up the border for fun. Not sure why you'd run. You lose by a ton. You're not the chosen one. Oh, hey, Beto, can't seem to cook a patty. Hey, Beto, your poll numbers are so crappy. Hey, Beto, to El Paso, get off the stump. Did you really think you had a chance to beat President Trump? Beto, not Mexicano.
A little Hey, Beto for you, of course, based on Hey Mambo, Mambo Italiano from the 1950s. But I had to have some fun with this clown. Every time he sees a microphone or a camera now, he says the F word. Just starts dropping bombs, man. Just starts dropping bombs. He thinks if he says the F word, it's going to mean something. How stupid is that? Again, I just want to reiterate this as vehemently as I can. It's legitimately stupid to think that we're somehow causing it. It's legitimately stupid to think this former punk rocker who was arrested for drunk driving, who allegedly left the scene of a hit and run, who was charged with burglary back in the day. This guy in a punk rock band, Robert Francis O'Rourke, wore a dress. I kid you not. He also, by the way, wrote some article when he was in high school. And in the article, he had to, I think he had to criticize or be a critic of or give some sort of review of some play they were doing, Paint Your Wagon or something, in high school. And he was talking about the women's breasts and their butts and whatever else. He's had dreams of killing people. Again, what is going on? You know, not that Walter Mondale was a good candidate, but where are the Walter Mondales of the world? Where at least you could say, well, you know, he's public service for a long time. I get it. And doesn't have these weird backgrounds of these people that are running for president now on the left. It's all very, very strange to me. So if you like the parody, let me know. Let's go to at Joe Talk Show on Twitter. You might not be able to get through on the phone lines, but at Joe Talk Show, JoeTalkShow on Twitter. Let me know if you liked it. Maybe we'll play it again later in the program. Let me go back to the phone lines. In the meantime, going to be line two, and Sam is in Alaska. Hi, Sam.
Hey. I don't know if the public, general public, would know about The American Practical Navigator by Nathaniel Bowditch. It's a book that's highly used by the Navy and the maritime industry, but climate change, you know, I don't know. I believe that there is climate change, but I don't think it's because of us. I think it's because the planet's just doing what it normally does.
Absolutely.
And one of the things in the Bowditch is that the planet tilts every year further off its axis, a little bit, like a half a degree or so. Anyway,
you know why, right?
I believe that has to do with what's going on.
Yeah, but you know why, right?
Right.
Okay, it's cow farts.
The cow farts
are knocking the planet off the axis. Don't argue with me. You're causing with the cows. How's it spelled? Bodich? Bowditch?
Yeah, Nathaniel Bowditch is the author, and it's actually updated annually for the maritime industry.
All right, we'll check it out. I appreciate the information. Yeah, I don't know what book is out there on it. Maybe that book explains everything. And of course, look, I'm not a climate change denier. I admit it. The climate's changing. Oh, yes, it is. The climate, she's a-changing. Just that it's not us doing it. The idea that the globe was able to replenish itself, renew itself, freeze completely, thaw out again, all before man ever showed up. And even a little bit after man showed up, in two or three ice ages. It's able to go through its own natural cycles. The idea that we're somehow causing the cycles now is just dumb. I had one person I brought up the ice ages to, and the person's answer to me was, yeah, but we were supposed to have another ice age by now. And see, we stopped it. So we stopped the natural occurring ice age. A, that's not true, that there was supposed to be another one. And B, let's say we did. Just a quick pop quiz for those listening and watching. Would it be better for human beings if the world entirely froze again, 6 feet of ice on top of all of us? Would that be beneficial to the people? Or is it kind of better that we don't have a glacier on top of our heads? There are some people actually listening who are angry with me right now because they want glaciers on our heads. Let that really sink in. 1-800-501-7080, JoePags.com. Line 3 is going to be Mark in North Carolina. Mark, what's going on?
Joe, it doesn't do any good to argue with politicians over man-made global warming or climate change because they don't believe it either. I saw a program.
Then why are they saying it then?
So the government can have complete control over the population.
Right answer. That's the right answer. Go ahead.
Well, I saw a program of, there were two founders of Acorn. I think they were brothers. But in this interview, he was talking about the gullibility of the American population, and we were so benevolent that as long as they said it's for the children or for clean water or clean air, we would believe anything and pay anything. And those two scams are what they're going to use to grow government.
Of course. And that's always the plan. It's about power and control and controlling the people, because there is a small group of people like those idiots that were on stage that night that truly believe they're smarter than you and I. And if they're smarter than you are, smarter than I am, smarter than, they're definitely smarter than everybody else in our neighborhood. And we should just be little lemmings that follow their lead. They could tell us what to eat, what to drive, where to work, how much money to have, and all of that. And if we don't listen to them, then we hate the children and we hate the globe. It's very stupid, but it is very effective. You're right.
Exactly. It's giving them power. And if you just listen to it, they'll explain it to you, because it's coming right out of their mouth. They just want power and control.
It's not unlike that guy, and I appreciate the phone call. Thank you. Open line now, 1-800-501-7080. Jonathan Gruber, the guy, the mastermind behind Obamacare, remember, he actually admitted it's because of the stupid American voter. The stupid American voter will fall for it if we tell them that it's catastrophic in this way, that way, or the other way. Then you've got Rahm Emanuel, the former right-hand man of Barack Obama, who said, never let a serious crisis go to waste. What does that mean? Well, a hurricane happens. You take the hurricane, instead of saying, well, okay, here's how you save your lives, evacuate, get out of the way of the hurricane, it's a category whatever, giving you good information, best of luck, we're praying for you. No. Hurricane's coming. The hurricane was caused by cow farts and global warming. You must now rely solely on government to tell you how to stop the next bad hurricane. Something the government can't do, but they'll make you believe that they can do it. Remember how many hurricanes we're going to have after the year of Katrina? 2005, you had Katrina, you had Rita, you had some very strong hurricanes that year. They were catastrophic. I mean, the catastrophe in New Orleans, let's be honest, was because Ray Nagin is an idiot. And did not evacuate the people. He said, I'm not going to evacuate the people. You're going to have a million damn people in the streets. Yes, you should have had a million damn people in the streets. But remember when that happened? If you don't let government control everything, you're going to have 15, 20 hurricanes. We're predicting 30 hurricanes this year. And the next year you had like two. And then you're going to have 52 hurricanes the following year. You had one. Well, it's going to be 17 at least next year, 3. So they perpetrate the lie because of what the caller said. They believe they're smarter. They believe that they have the right to control everything. If you don't give them the power, then you're the problem and you hate children. Isn't it crazy that the left tells those of us who don't believe that we're causing climate change? The left calls us baby killers or baby haters, or we hate the children, we hate the people, when they're the ones lining up to support Planned Parenthood offing 900 unborn children every day. I mean, that's really how loony it's gotten. And there are people out there, some of you, who are mad at me for saying this truth. It is 1-800-501-7080, 1-800-501-7080, joepags.com. Coming back. Great to have you the weekend with Joe Pags. Lots coming your way. A lot of interviews that I want to bring you today. So make sure you stick around for that. I'm talking about some really interesting stuff. I've got Jason Lewis, who's a former representative from the great state of Minnesota. He's also a former talk show host. He's now running for U.S. Senate. He's a Republican, and we try to find out if he's even got a chance, because Minnesota has been very, very bright blue when it comes to the outcomes of elections, although many of you living in Minnesota are certainly conservative, but you feel like you have no voice. Can he possibly do it? Rachel Campos Duffy, she is a contributor on Fox News Channel, also an author of a new book, Paloma Wants to Be Lady Liberty, about legal immigration. They're the people who are forgotten in this day and age of illegal immigration. Also, Lieutenant Colonel Alan West and much more, so make sure you stick around. We'll also examine Sharpiegate. Sharpiegate. You guys even know what that is? Sharpiegate. I mean, it's again, legitimately stupid. There is so much that the left does in this country now that's legitimately stupid that would have been laughed, you know, completely laughed off the map like 10 years ago, 15 years ago. 20 years ago, Bill Clinton was giving the State of the Union about how illegal aliens should not be allowed to just come here. Barack Obama 8, 9, 10 years ago was saying, no, you can't be sending your children here. We're just going to send them back. All of a sudden, everything's changed. And by the way, nothing's changed. You're like, well, what do you mean? You just said everything's changed. What am I supposed to believe? The media will have you believe everything has changed. The media will have you believe everybody wants socialism. Everybody wants to smoke pot. Everybody wants to have abortions. Everybody wants food lines. Everybody wants nobody to eat meat anymore. Everybody hates SUVs. They want, oh, there's the latest from some dorky author I never heard of before. Rebecca somebody. Don't wear red hats ever again, ever. Don't wear a red baseball cap. Now, if you're in St. Louis or Boston or Kansas City, I don't know. You might have a bunch of red hats. Cincinnati. In fact, what do the Cincinnati Reds do? The Cincinnati nondescript colors? What do you... Can't say the Reds because that's hateful. Hate. This doofus is actually triggered by anybody wearing a red hat. I guess she saw somebody out in public wearing a red hat. And that immediately made her think it was a Make America Great Again hat, which is, again, a great slogan. I love that my country is great, and making it great again is perfect. But she was afraid that it said Make America Great Again. When she got up to it, she noticed it wasn't that, and she breathed a sigh of relief. But because it makes people feel, quote, unsafe, an author who uses words in her business actually said, well, misuse the word unsafe, because hats can't make you feel unsafe. That's stupid. But she actually said it makes people feel unsafe, so people, good people, here it is again. If you don't listen to her, you're not a good person. Good people should stop wearing red hats. I kid you not. No comment from Santa or Mrs. Claus. Just going to put it out there. Let me go to line three. It's going to be Glenn in Connecticut. Glenn, about a minute. Let's go.
Hi, Joe. You're talking about so many subjects, I almost forgot why I called. Anyway, climate change. Hey, first thing you got to think about here is where we are and what we're on. We're on an egg with a bunch of fractures with molten lava underneath us. That's why one reason our temperature goes up and down. If you look back in time, humans have always done better in warmer climates. One thing, you can't grow food in cold climates. All you have to do is look back in time. Secondly, what happens to these fractures with lava underneath us? Oh, it vents, and we call those volcanoes. And if you look up online,
and the venting, I got to run. The venting obviously is going to be hot air. We got to go. Coming right back. Stay here.
This is The Weekend with Joe Pags. Across America, it's The Weekend with Joe Pags. To talk to Joe, call 800-501-7080. And now, The Weekend. Here's Joe Pags.
Great radio stations across the land, joepags.com, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email, it's all right there. Also, you've got the Parlay app, you've got the newsletter you can go and subscribe to, and the live video feed. Now, what happens is, when the show is live, and we do it on the weekend, 9 a.m. Pacific time, which is noon Eastern time, on Saturday. So if you're listening live right now, you can go to the video stream, and you can actually see me doing the show. I don't know if that's attractive to you or not. A lot of people like to go do that. But even if you miss the program, or if you're listening to it later, you can also watch it later, because that live stream of the last program keeps on playing until I do a new program. So feel free to stop by and do that as well. But really glad to have you here on The Weekend with Joe Pags. 1-800-501-7080. A lot to get to, lots that I want to talk about. Lieutenant Colonel Alan West is a guy you probably know, for positive reasons, unless you're a lefty, then you might not be very happy with him. But he's a guy that's been making news for a long time. He's a very, very steady conservative. He's a guy that's in Texas now and is trying to stop Texas from turning blue. Wants to keep Texas red. Lose Texas, Lose the Nation is the name of his new book, which I of course, call it the wrong name in much of the interview until we correct it later. But we appreciate the Lieutenant Colonel coming on. Colonel, I appreciate you. How are you?
Good to be with you, Joe, and great to know you're just down the road from me. I'm up here in Garland, Texas, just outside of Dallas.
Yeah, well, we're aired on KRLD, 1080 a.m. In Dallas at 11 p.m. every night, so that'll be heard there. And we love having you in the state. Now, I grew up in South Florida, so I thought of you as a Florida guy, but you were there for a while, and now you're here in the great Lone Star State.
Yeah, absolutely. My last tour of duty in the United States Army was at Fort Hood, Texas, with the 4th Infantry Division. And then after retirement, I looked at my wife, who's originally from Jamaica, and said, wherever you want to go, honey, for retirement, since her dad was career military also.
Yeah.
So we settled down in South Florida. But 5 years ago, I got a call to come back to Texas to be part of a policy organization. And so I answered that call. And here I am.
Well, we're glad to have you, that's for sure. There's a huge push to make Texas blue. And by the way, before I even get into that, the name of the book is Hold the Nation, Victory or Death. Hold Texas, Hold the Nation, because it just says Hold the Nation. The book is on Amazon. Yeah. And I want people to go and get that. But you're right. You've got to hold Texas. Texas is firmly red, although Austin isn't. Houston isn't. San Antonio no longer is.
Dallas.
El Paso isn't. Dallas isn't. Yeah. So the major metropolis areas, like in all these states that turn blue, if you look at a map of Oregon, it's red, except the big city, so it's a very blue state. Same thing with New York. The state of New York is red, except for New York City and maybe Albany. So what do you do? Because there's a major push they actually turned Texas blue as a major organization. What do you do to hold onto the values that we love here and not let Texas go?
Well, that's one of the reasons why I'm running to be the chairman for the Republican Party of Texas, because I believe that when you look at that strategic blueprint that the left has done coming into red states and taking over the major population centers, it's a numbers game. So instead of dismissing and ignoring what we have seen happen in these major population centers that are controlled by Democrats, we need to go in and be very precision munition oriented. And how do we look at the areas where we can have an impact in these urban population centers and get them back so that we can maintain this incredible blessing that we have in Texas, the growth, the opportunity, the prosperity? There's a great message here in Texas, with all these businesses and corporations and people that are moving here. But I think we need to articulate to them what makes Texas the 11th largest economy in the world.
Yeah, it's Lieutenant Colonel Alan West. Get the book, Hold the Nation, Victory or Death. It's on Amazon. I'll put links on my social to make sure you go and do that. He's launching a bid, or he did a few weeks ago, to be the GOP chair here in Texas. As you just alluded to, a lot of businesses coming from California, coming from Oregon, coming from New York, coming from Michigan, coming from Illinois, and they're coming to Texas, and they're leaving the place that politics and politicians ruined, and they're bringing their politics with them. They're actually coming to Texas for the lower taxes, the better corporate atmosphere, the more lenient laws and smaller, less powerful government, which is what we want.
And affordable housing.
Exactly right. So they're coming to about 1,000 a day. And they're coming here, they're bringing their politics. Colonel, how do we stop that? I mean, they're leaving the place that politics and politicians ruined.
Well, for one of the things is Texas is kind of a victim of its own success. You remember when Rick Perry was going out and talking to these failed blue states and corporations there and say, hey, come to Texas. But the important thing is that the corporate business leaders understand why they're moving, like Toyota North America that has moved into Plano, Texas up here.
Right.
But no one is talking to the employees. And I think that's where we have to make a difference, to talk to the employees. We should be on the radio stations. We should have billboards that are up. They ask a very simple question. We say, welcome to Texas. Now, why are you here? And that gives us the opportunity to explain why you are here and the difference between the failed policies of California, Illinois, New York, New Jersey, and the successful policies that we see here in the Lone Star State.
For those around the country who don't understand this, in the capital, Austin, they've actually passed a law recently that homeless people can sleep anywhere they want.
And erect tents.
Right. So they're going to the University of Texas at Austin, and they're erecting tents inside, like, the dorms. And now the people waking up are going, oh, why are there homeless people sleeping in the dorms that I pay so much for my son or my daughter to go to? And now the city council has to sort of realign itself. Well, maybe you can't sleep every. Oh, by the way, they're not allowed to sleep on the city hall grounds. You can sleep anywhere else, but just not in city hall. So when you've got a policy like that, And you've got it. It's so far left and so far progressive, it starts to look like San Francisco, mm-hmm. which is a stark failure. Is that what we have to just keep on pounding back into their heads? We can't be like them. This doesn't work.
You have to keep pounding that message, and it's a clear delineation. But think about those small businesses downtown in Austin that are going to be affected. Think about the live music entertainment sector down there on 6th Street that is going to be affected. That's what we need to be bringing out to people. No one wants to go into downtown Austin late at night when they know they're going to be accosted by homeless individuals. And also, you know, we don't want to see the streets start to look at like the streets that we have out in San Francisco.
Right. It's Lieutenant Colonel Alan West. Get his book. It's Hold the Nation, Victory or Death. It's on Amazon. I'm going to put links up for that. Also, running to be the Texas GOP chair, which I think you should be a shoo-in. When we talk about situations like that where Austin makes a really dumb move, like we just had a move in Minnesota where the city council in a small park, St. Louis Park, a small city, said no more a Pledge of Allegiance. Nope, we're not going to do it. And it was unanimous. Everybody voted to get rid of the Pledge of Allegiance. The residents showed up and recited the Pledge of Allegiance and shouted them down until they changed their mind to where everybody said, yes, we should do the Pledge of Allegiance. Mm-hmm. Is that what it's about? Because the left does that very well. They rise up, they're loud, they organize. The rest of us are all working, so don't really spend the time going in and lobbying our politicians. Do we need to find the time?
Yes, we do need to find the time, because not just the state of Texas being so important, but also, as I say in the book, it's about the entire United States of America. You go back to 2010, when for the first time you saw a constitutional conservative grassroots movement that took to the streets, that challenged those sitting elected officials, and they were very, very effective until, you know, Barack Obama and the IRS unleashed their power and their tyranny against that conservative grassroots movement. So I think we have to regenerate that energy, regenerate that that, you know, voice once again, and understand those fundamental principles. It has to be about faith and family, individual responsibility, quality education, free market economic system, and service to our nation, and protecting the sovereignty of the United States of America. That's a big deal when you think about the border that Texas has.
Lieutenant Colonel Alan West, I probably should have listened to you earlier. Do I have the name of the book wrong? Is it Hold Texas, Hold the Nation?
Yeah, Hold Texas, Hold the Nation, Victory.
I want to make sure I get it right.
No.
Hold Texas, Hold the Nation, Victory or Death. I'm going to talk to your publicist because I think they sent it to me wrong. Either way, the bottom line is I want you to go and get his book because it makes a lot of sense, and he's absolutely right. If Texas goes blue, that's it. The nation's blue for the next 200 years. You've got to be very careful of this is where the values are still held true, mm-hmm. and people need to understand that. All right, let's go to other stuff. Robert Francis calls himself Beto O'Rourke. Is out there on the campaign trail. I think he's getting less than 1% of the vote now. He's not raising money like he used to. He can ride a mean skateboard, and for some reason showed us him cooking a burger really badly the other day on his live stream. But he's a guy who said, elect me president, I'm going to tear down all the walls, including the one in El Paso that's working. And elect me president, we're going to have a mandatory buyback of all so-called assault rifles. You're a military guy. Yeah. Are we selling assault rifles to people? Is assault rifle even a real thing?
No, it's not. It's a semi-automatic rifle, and I have several myself. And anyone that would take a civilian AR-15 onto the battlefield, you're a pretty dumb person, because it doesn't give you the type of firepower that is necessary.
Right.
But yet anyone can take anything and assault another with it. As a matter of fact, over the weekend we saw in France with an Islamic jihadist and the knife attack there. We know that knife attacks are on the rise in London. But what is interesting is that here you have a person running to be the president, but doesn't believe in the sovereignty of the United States of America.
Right.
And open up our borders and then disarm law-abiding, legal gun owners in America. Let me give you an example of what happened on Friday. Kate Steinle, the person that shot and killed Kate Steinle, was the Court of Appeals out in California found that he wasn't even guilty of the criminal possession of a firearm. Here's
stunning.
A five-time deported criminal illegal immigrant in a sanctuary city, in a sanctuary state, that unlawfully fired, discharged a weapon in public, and they didn't even find him guilty of that. This is the direction the progressive socialist left would have us on. And remember, Joe, that it was Hugo Chavez that also said that he was going to ban private gun ownership because he wanted to curtail gun violence. And look at what is happening to the people in Venezuela now.
Yeah, Hugo Chavez did it. Hitler did it. China, you can't get a gun. And guess what? That uprising in China, you probably have thousands of people killed like were in Tiananmen Square back in the late 80s because they have no way to defend themselves.
No way.
They're out there hoping and praying for freedom and liberty, waving our flag and singing our national anthem, and they're all going to end up dead because in China, they have no rights, they have no ability to defend themselves. When people say, well, you don't need more than, you know, two bullets to kill a deer, like the idiot in New York, Cuomo, or somebody saying, you don't need, for hunting and target practice, you don't need an AR-15. They don't get the meaning of the Second Amendment, do they? I mean, it's about stopping tyranny, is it not?
It is absolutely about that. And, you know, obviously they don't know history because this country got started over the issue of gun control. When the British landed and marched inland toward Concord, Massachusetts on April 19, 1775, it was about destroying a weapons and armaments factory. And there wasn't an America, there wasn't a federal government, no army, no navy, Marine Corps, just armed people that understood they were citizens if they were armed because they didn't want to be subjects by being disarmed.
Yeah, it's Lieutenant Colonel Alan West. Go get his book, Hold Texas, Hold the Nation, Victory or Death. Get it on Amazon. One quick question. I want to circle back to where we started, and I really appreciate your time. Hopefully we can do it again. He's hoping to be the Texas GOP chair. I think that you should be a shoo-in. But I want to circle back to those urban areas that we were talking about. Mm-hmm. Why is it that those areas, the populations in those areas, are so indoctrinatable, if that's a word? Yeah. And the reason why I ask that is, black people in this country historically have been treated like crap by the Democrat Party. They keep voting Democrat. Hispanics have been treated like garbage by the Democrat Party. They keep voting Democrat. Democrats actually wanted to keep the Second Amendment unavailable to black people in this country. Yes. And yet they keep voting for Democrats. Now, I know that all ships are rising with the rising economic tide. Black people, it turns out, are starting to look to Donald Trump more than we ever expected that they might. Is there a change happening? And do you have an opinion as to why minority communities, especially in the urban areas, are so malleable, so easily tricked, I'll say, into voting for Democrats?
Well, it's very simple, Joe. If you're not there to advocate for your cause, guess what? They only hear the cause of being a victim and not cause of being a victor. Yeah. And when I go around Texas and I tell people that on July the 4th of 1867, the Republican Party of Texas was established. It was founded by 150 blacks. And many Republicans here in Texas did not know that.
Wow.
So that tells you something. What a powerful message. What a powerful statement that could be, you know, promulgated all over this state. And so the Republicans don't know their history, and the Republicans don't go in and challenge the Democrats in these communities. And what President Donald Trump said when he said, you know, he challenged the black community, what have you got to lose?
Yeah.
He brought out the fact of the failure of Baltimore and how we have all of these congressional black caucus members that are nothing more than the overseers on a new 21st century economic plantation. That's what we have to do. Challenge them and show people that we care and get in these communities with our message and engage with them and make sure that we are talking about the policies. School choice. You know, Ron DeSantis won in Florida over Andrew Gillum, an avowed black socialist, on the issue of school choice because 100,000 single black mothers decided that was an important issue.
And by the way, school choice helps out the lower income areas exponentially more than any white high, you know, income area ever would. It actually is a balancing act that allows people to take money that otherwise would be wasted in a failing public school and allow them to go and get a better education for their kids. I think Democrats, and we can continue with this next time, but I think Democrats are afraid that black people and Hispanics and others will actually get educated to understand how they're being controlled and how they're being kept in the plantation. Can we go there next time?
We can go there next time. I look forward to it.
It's Lieutenant Colonel Alan West. Get his book, Hold Texas, Hold the Nation, Victory or Death. I will put all sorts of links up to it. And best of luck on the bid to be the GOP chair here in Texas. I think it's an easy win for you. Can we do it again soon?
West4Texas.com.
The number four?
Yes, West4Texas.com.
We always appreciate Lieutenant Colonel Alan West. We'll have him on again very soon. Just a great mind, a smart guy, and I'm glad that we were able to cover all those topics. Your thoughts, 1-800-501-7080, 1-800-501-7080, JoePags.com. We're coming right back. To have you the weekend with Joe Pags, 1-800-501-7080, 1-800-501-7080. Always a pleasure to have Lieutenant Colonel Alan West on. We'll have him on again very soon. We've also got Rachel Campos Duffy coming on. She's the wife of Representative Sean Duffy from Wisconsin. She's also an author and a Fox News contributor. And we'll have her on to talk about her new book called Paloma Wants to Be Lady Liberty. It's about legal immigration, how the legal immigrants have been forgotten about, and what the dream always was, and what the plan was when coming to the United States of America. It's a story that you're going to want to hear. Make sure you stick around for that. Later, next hour, we're going to talk to Dr. Marty McCary. He's a guy who advises the Trump administration on health care. He's a surgeon at Johns Hopkins. And we talk about health care, what you don't know, what we have to fix, and what things went wrong when Obamacare was put in place. Talk about that as well. Let me go to the phone lines. In the meantime, line two is going to be Larry in New York. Larry, what's going on? Hi.
Hi, Joe. How are you today?
Living the dream, my friend. What's happening? Come on.
Quick question for all the brainiacs out there. What would happen if they took every water vessel off the oceans and adjoining seas that weighed over 2 tons? What would happen? Would the water
if your suggestion is that these vessels are taking up space in the ocean, which they are. I mean, not that much, but they are. If you took them all out, I'm guessing the water level would go down. So you're saying the water level has gone up because of boats?
Well, if you look at all the oil tankers and all the commercial vehicles on the water now, every year they're producing bigger ones and bigger ones. And it all displaces water.
It certainly isn't something I've ever considered. I don't know if it's nominal or if it actually makes a difference, but it's an interesting point.
I just heard a brainiac on CNN the other day talking about Jakarta. They're going to have to move it because of the rising water levels.
Yeah, that's stupid. Listen, let me ask you one simple question. You sound like a smart guy. Why are you putting CNN on your TV ever? Ever?
Accident. It was an accident.
It was it an accident? All right, I'll give you a pass then. It was an accident. Well, if you had a TV accident, I won't give you too hard a time. But I legitimately don't know where CNN is on my cable, and that actually is a good thing. It's 1-800-501-7080, joepags.com. We come back. We'll have let's do Jason Lewis when we come back. Can a Republican win a Senate seat in the great state of Minnesota? You'll find out next. Keep it here.
This is The Weekend with Joe Pags.
Radio stations across the land, joepags.com, all the social media, the live video feed is there as well. Sign up for the newsletter, get it done, do it. What's the matter with you? It's The Weekend with Joe Pags, glad to have you along for the ride, and really glad to have this guy back. Jason Lewis was a nationally syndicated talk show host, a very, very good talk show host. You might have heard him filling in for Rush, and he had his own thing for a long time. And then he decided, I'm done with talk radio, done with the media, I'm going to go and be a public servant, and he ran for U.S. House. He won in the great state of Minnesota. He lost in his reelection bid, but he's making a comeback, and he's running for U.S. Senate out of Minnesota. Minnesota's an interesting state because it very rarely goes red. But the president almost won Minnesota. He didn't, but he almost won Minnesota in 2016. Wanted to have Jason on to talk about that. Jason, I appreciate you. How are you?
Joe, it's so good to be back.
Man, it's a pleasure to have you. We've got a huge audience in Minneapolis-St. Paul. They still miss right. You. They still love you. And you looked like you were going to be able to hold on to the seat in the U.S. House recently. It was a very close race. I'm not really right. sure why it went the other way. Maybe we could explore that. But you're announcing a different race. Tell me what's going on.
Last week at the Great Minnesota Get-Together, the State Fair, we announced that we are the candidate for the United States Senate from the great state of Minnesota. And I think we've pretty much cleared the field. I think we should be the GOP nominee to take on Junior Senator Tina Smith, former Planned Parenthood executive, right. Green New Deal advocate, and wants to reduce everybody's tax reduction by taking it away. So we've got a pretty good target in mind for this Senate race. And Minnesota, you know, just barely went blue in the last presidential election, 44,000 votes. The president right. lost by just a point and a half. So this is eminently doable. As to the congressional race, I'm glad you brought that up, though. We were the last person standing in the metro area. And I do believe it's because we stuck with the president. There okay. were other candidates running away, and I refused to do that because I'm not going to run away from good policy regardless of the personality of politics. I'm not going to run away from good policy. And so we lost by 5 points in a blue wave, the most since Watergate. But I do believe we were the closest in the metro in these tough suburban districts because we stood for something. We weren't going to run away, as I say, from the president or good policy. And now with Greater Minnesota in play, which is predominantly deep, deep red. People don't understand that about Minnesota.
Yeah.
The 7th district, the 8th is going red, the 6th, the 1st. I think we stand a really good shot. We got to keep the Senate, Joe. This is the last firewall of freedom.
Well, what is the website for people to go and check out your campaign?
It is Lewis4MN, F-O-R, by the way, Lewis4MN.com. We're going to flip Minnesota, and we better because the Senate's in balance.
I don't know anywhere near as much about Minnesota politics as you do. That's why I love having you on. Ilhan Omar wins in District 5, took Keith Ellison's place. Because of Keith Ellison, the doofus Dayton, and because of Obama, they packed that district with people from Somalia. That was on purpose, obviously. But, Jason, I'm also hearing that a lot of Jews live in that district. Is that true? And if so, why is that district going Democrat? Jews in this day and age, especially with what President Trump did with Jerusalem and it's his support for Golan Heights and Netanyahu, you would figure that American Jews would stop voting left. What's the story?
Well, I don't think the Jewish community is happy with Ilhan Omar at all.
Yeah.
They've got every reason to be upset. Look, we have to reform, in addition to securing our border and controlling illegal immigration, we have to reform the asylum process, the refugee process. Right now, the State Department gets a recommendation from a UN panel. Then they go out and subcontract with Volags, who actually have a moral hazard to encourage as many people coming here as they can and then get on public assistance. That process, which hasn't been looked at for decades, needs to be reformed because it's been politicized, to your point. Look, the challenge for Republicans is not necessarily to take out an AOC or a Representative Presley or Tlaib or even Omar.
Yeah.
It is to make certain that every Democrat in the country, like Junior Senator Tina Smith, has to answer to them. What do you think about what Ilhan Omar said about this and this and this? Because the press won't do it. So Republicans have to.
It is Jason Lewis running for U.S. Senate out of Minnesota. I hope that you win. I think you should be a shoo-in. But then again, I thought the other guy was going to beat Keith Ellison for Attorney General. Your top cop in the state of Minnesota is a radical leftist, and I'm stunned by it. A guy who promised to bring tens of, if not hundreds of thousands of more immigrants or refugees into the same area where they are now. So what do you have to say to the voters of Minnesota who, frankly, seem a little schizophrenic to me? How do you get them back on track?
Look, there is a Nixonian silent majority out there. I've been through this now 3 cycles.
Yeah.
And when I announced at the state fair, I had the greatest reaction to this announcement I've had since I've been in politics. People are hungry for a pushback against the squad. Remember, Joe, in 2018, there was no squad. We could try to warn people about what's coming, about how radicalized the Democratic Party has become with Keith Ellison and Ilhan Omar and all the rest. But they didn't see it. Now they see it. They see a party that says, yeah, let's abolish private health insurance. Let's abolish ICE. Let's eliminate air travel. Let's put miners and loggers and energy out of work on the Iron Range. This is not what people are going to go for. In 2018, that wasn't evident. It is more than evident right now. And there are enough votes in Greater Minnesota and the suburbs to win this statewide race. We've had U.S. Senator Norm Coleman. We've had U.S. Senator Rod Grams, U.S. Senator Rudy Boschwitz. The president loses. Remember, McCain comes into Minnesota, loses by 11.
Right.
Romney loses by 8. In comes President Donald Trump. He loses by a point and a half, 44,000 votes.
Yeah.
This is the state ripe for flipping.
It's Jason Lewis. It's Lewis4Senate.org or com.
Lewis4MN, the abbreviation of Minnesota. Yes. Lewis4MN.org.
All right, go to lewis4mn.com. Why does Tina Smith have the job? How did she win that race? Who is the competition, if anybody? And again, I always hear Minnesota nice. You guys need to stop being so Minnesota nice when it comes to politics and sort of just getting along with each other. Let's fight the fight now. How does somebody who's a former executive at Planned Parenthood, where it's just a let's kill 900 babies a day mill, that's all it really is, how does she get that job?
I think you're right, by the way, about being a fighter. The reason Trump did so well in Minnesota is, agree with him or not, he's a guy that's fighting for what he believes in, taking on the media, trying to secure the border, taking on China, which isn't popular in some agricultural areas, and I understand that. But the president is doing what other presidents were too fearful to do. And that resonates. So we're going to fight and we're going to explain to people that you don't have to be a dyed-in-the-wool pro-life charter member of the right to life to understand that post-birth infanticide is a shock to the conscience of every American. And Tina Smith went on the floor of the U.S. Senate and defended the governor of Virginia when he said, giving a baby who survives a botched abortion medical treatment. Tina Smith said that would be inappropriate. That would be inappropriate medical treatment. Now, we're going to take that battle to greater Minnesota and to the suburbs where that is going to resonate with mainstream Minnesotans. I can guarantee you that.
You know who also said that about babies that have already been born? Barack Obama. When he was a senator from the state of Illinois, the state senator, he actually said, if a baby is born alive, don't give it medical care because that questions the mother's original decision. I mean, that's just disgusting. And the fact that this guy is still the governor of Virginia after wearing blackface or a KKK outfit in college and then saying, let's kill the born babies. I mean, that tells you a lot about the Democrat Party, doesn't it?
It sure does, especially when they're always talking about doing what's best for the kids.
Right.
That's not really doing what's best for the kids. What we're seeing here, Joe, is who the extremists really are. Whether it's the socialism and turning this country into Venezuela, which, by the way, as you well know, anytime you control an economy, you control the people.
Right.
Socialism always ends at the butt of a gun. It has to. And that's what's happening with Green New Deals. That's what's happening with banning air travel, abolishing ICE, banning private health insurance. This is an agenda of extremism that the Democrats are caught in between, and we're going to make Tina Smith answer for it.
Lewis4MN.com. Go there and support Jason Lewis's run for U.S. Senate. Let me ask you this. If the state of Minnesota wouldn't go red for Ronald Reagan, and I know Mondale was from Minnesota, but who cares? He was a horrible candidate. What's going to change it for you? I mean, how is this going to happen? I'm guessing you'll get the major geography of Minnesota. If you look at the state, it's mostly red. I get it.
Right.
But still, the urban populated centers are still going to be very far left. What do you have to do?
It's a great question. It's the Pennsylvania strategy. Mitt Romney marches into Philadelphia and Pittsburgh and vastly outperforms President Trump in 2012.
Right.
Trump goes in there in 2016, loses Philly and Pittsburgh by a much greater margin than Romney, underperforms Romney, but wins Pennsylvania for the first time in ages. How do you do it? He took greater Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
We've crunched the numbers. We're going to take greater Minnesota. We're going to keep our hold in the suburbs, and that will be enough to offset an urban core that's gone off the rails. And that's what people are seeing that they didn't see remember in 2018, people still thought the Russian collusion story wasn't a piece of fiction from CNN.
Right. That's true. They still thought there might have been something there. It's Jason Lewis, former great talk show host. I'm in his slot in Minnesota on that great radio station, Twin Cities News Talk 1130. And people still call and talk about you all the time. I don't know how much of my show you listen to, but I know that this happened when you were on the air as well. The people in Minnesota are frustrated. The majority of people in those areas that we're talking about don't know what to do. They call and they say, Joe, I don't know what to do. I love my state. I don't want to leave. But they've turned it so far left, it's never coming back. What kind of hope can you give them that you can actually make this happen?
Well, as I say, I mean, if you are milquetoast, if you run away from this president, you are going nowhere.
Yeah.
You have got to do what you think is right and let the chips fall. And people appreciate that, whether it's Reagan or Trump. They don't have to agree with everything. They just like a fighter. And that's why while McCain loses by 11, Trump loses by a point and a half.
Yeah.
But the single biggest thing I would point to is the 8th District. The 8th District, we used to battle from greater Minnesota to the urban areas to a draw. And then James Oberstar, the political potentate from the 8th, would come in as the Democrat and deliver the state to the Democrats.
Right.
The 8th District is now represented by a Republican. Good. I got the endorsement of two trade unions in 2018. The Democrat Party is out to put those people on the unemployment lines, in mining, in logging, in energy pipelines. We have got the 8th District. We're going to win the 8th District, and that is going to be a huge difference.
It is Jason Lewis, Lewis4MN.com. Go there right now. One last question about the economy. I was watching a little bit of television today, or listening to it anyway, and Chris Wallace over at Fox News said, oh, yeah, the economic numbers are not as good as they had been before, and people aren't as confident after all the recent news reports. Well, duh. All the recent news reports are trying to say the economy is failing when it's not. It's doing incredibly. 130 jobs added this month. Oh, that's under the estimates from economists. I don't know who the hell they're talking to. And also, we've got black unemployment is the lowest. It keeps on going lower. And it's the lowest we've ever seen. The unemployment number at large is lowest we've seen in 50 years. The workforce participation number is going up from Obama, where that number
was
down.
Which is crucial, by the way. Oh, that statistic is crucial.
Oh, it's huge. So when people start getting afraid for the economy, they're going to start looking at other candidates other than this president, and maybe other than you. How do we keep them in the know? How do we keep them on the righteous path?
That
Well, you're battling the media that's saying it sucks when it doesn't.
You just have to explain to people over and over again, the people that are trying to create a recession are the same ones that told you there was a Russian collusion between Trump, when it was actually between Hillary Clinton and the Russians and Fusion GPS and Christopher Steele and all the rest. Yep. These are the same people that used Michael Avenatti and Jussie Smollett as sources. These are the same people that have been lying to you for more than 3 years. Remember in 1992, when Bush 41 was running for re-election and Bill Clinton was running around saying, the economy's in the worst shape it's been in 50 years. After the election and Clinton won, we realized there actually was no great recession in 1992, it was a narrative for political purposes. And the same thing is going on right now I'm afraid to say the media are just the opposition research arm of the Democrat Party. You got to treat them as such.
Yeah, I agree with you. When Julian Castro tries to take credit for the good economy and give the credit to Obama, and then the next week everybody else is saying, well, no, the economy sucks. Look, our recession's on the way.
Right.
And then Bill Maher says, I really want a recession. It would be great. I mean, I think that we have to keep on highlighting that. And I think that you're doing a great job, my friend.
Thank you, Joe. We're excited here in Minnesota. I think you're going to surprise a lot of people. I can tell you this, too. And I'm not just saying it for my own benefit. I talk to the president's team a lot, and they are absolutely 100% committed to Minnesota.
Good.
They've got people on the ground already. They think it's doable. The president is excited to get back here. And look, Minnesotans don't want two liberal Democratic senators. They want balance. We're going to give them that.
I hope that happens. It's Jason Lewis. Go to lewis4mn.com. I wish you the best. Let's talk again between now and then.
You got it, Joe. Thanks.
All right, brother. We always appreciate Jason Lewis stopping by. Really a great mind. And it's going to be very interesting to watch and see if Minnesota could, in fact, go red, at least for that Senate seat. It's 1-800-501-7080, 1-800-501-7080, joepags.com. Keep it right here. Great to have you the weekend with Joe Pags, 1-800-501-7080, 1-800-501-7080. JoePags.com is the website, JoePags.com. Make sure you go there and go check that out as well. Let me hit a couple of phone calls here. We'll have Rachel Campos Duffy next hour about her new book. Paloma wants to be Lady Liberty. She's the wife of Sean Duffy, the U.S. representative out of Wisconsin. Also, she's a Fox News contributor. You might remember her from Road Rules. Back on either VH1 or MTV or something back in the 90s. But a great conversation. You're going to want to hear this. It's about legal immigration and about how immigrants do, in fact, build this great land. But you've got to do it legally. And the legal immigrants who wait in line for years and years are being forgotten about. So she wrote a book to remind us. Let me go to the phone line. Say hello and welcome to Patricia, who I believe is going from Michigan to Missouri right now. What's happening, Patricia? Hi.
Hi. By the way, what a wonderful singing voice you have.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Juliana, the Beto version. But you were talking about Sharpiegate. And I was listening to NPR this morning. I know. You have to go into enemy territory sometimes.
I guess.
It was their game show, What. And the first question was, you know, who used a Sharpie to do an erroneous track of the Hurricane Dorian, and, you know, and they were just eviscerating Trump. And he is so far beyond where they are. He is trying, I believe I understand what he was doing. He was trying to connect Alabama with, in the track of the hurricane, right in the crosshairs, is Little St. James Island. In the pedophile island that is going to, I believe, incriminate many, many people in our in our political realm. And Alabama, I believe, is his way of saying who's a prominent person who has been in his administration from Alabama. Jeff Sessions.
Right.
And he seemed like he wasn't doing too much when he was attorney general. But I believe he has been very busy because there are 110,000 sealed indictments that have piled up since October of 2017.
Well, I hear you. I want to focus, if I can, let me focus specifically on the track of the hurricane. I grew up in South Florida. We watched hurricanes and we tracked hurricanes every single year. We had to be careful. We had to find out what was going on. The track of that hurricane clearly, right, the track of that hurricane clearly by that map that he was using was showing that it was going through Florida, Georgia, and heading toward Alabama. It showed that possible track did in fact take it, right, it in fact did show it heading toward where Alabama is on a map. Anybody knows our map knows where Alabama is. I don't know if he used the Sharpie or somebody else used the Sharpie. I really don't care. NOAA has come out and said that the National Weather Service in Alabama was incorrect when they said the president was saying something that was factually wrong about the track of the hurricane. In fact, NOAA has said, yes, Alabama was in the track. So NPR, NPR already is a far left-wing organization and outlet, and the fact that they somehow try to make fun of the guy, even after NOAA just backed him up, is kind of dumb.
It was horrible. It was disgusting. And nothing like that ever happened to Obama.
Oh, no. You'd be a racist if you did anything like that. Patricia, I got to run. Be careful on the travels. We appreciate you. I've got about 1 minute for you. Cheryl, make it happen. Come on, Cheryl, where are you at?
Cheryl or Carol?
Well, it says Cheryl, but I'll go with whatever you want me to call you. Is it Carol? I apologize. I only have about 30 or 40 seconds. Got to make it fast.
Okay. Climate change has nothing to do with people. People can ease up on the trash and ease up on the carbon and all that fun stuff, but in the end, it's all up to God. And why these people think they are more powerful than God, it's one of the reasons why I became a Republican a couple years ago and why
Cheryl,
I will stay a Republican till I die.
I love you for saying that, and I appreciate you. Yeah, because it sounds like you're a smart person. Smart people make smart decisions. Quick break. Back after this on the weekend.
This is The Weekend with Joe Pags. Across America, it's The Weekend with Joe Pags. To talk to Joe, call 800-501-7080. And now, The Weekend. Here's Joe Pags.
Great radio stations across the land. JoePags.com, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email, the Parlay app. Scroll down, you'll see the way to sign up for the newsletter. It's the Joe Pags Show. Also, the live video screen stream. You'll see my big fat head wearing my Joe Pags Show shirt. Oh, yes, absolutely. If you go check out the live video stream as well. The Joe Pags Weekend Program, it is The Weekend with me. And we've got Rachel Campos Duffy on. She is a Fox News contributor. She's also, you might remember her from Road Rules, I believe, over on MTV back in the day. And she is the wife of Sean Duffy. He's a U.S. representative out of Wisconsin. Got a new book out. It's called Paloma Wants to Be Lady Liberty. And it's about legal immigration. It's about doing it the right way and for the right reasons. It's just an absolute pleasure to talk to her. Rachel, I appreciate you. How you doing?
Thank you for having me on the show. I'm doing really great.
Really glad to have you on. You've got a new book out called Paloma Wants to Be Lady Freedom. And I love this concept. I love that you're doing it. I love that you're showing the book, which is excellent.
Thank you.
I want everybody to go and buy this. And this is why I find this to be so important. A, I'm a big fan of yours. I think it's going to be great. I haven't read it yet, but I can't wait to. B, I'm the grandchild of an immigrant. I mean, people immigrated to this country for generations and centuries, did it the right way, followed the law. Lately, and I'd love to get your comment on this, we seem to be mired in worrying about caravans and coyotes bringing people across the border, and who's trying to break through, and who wants asylum, and what's going on, drug trafficking and human trafficking. We forget about the real American stories of people like Paloma. You tell us who that is.
Yeah.
Who came across the border the right way. Tell me who the inspiration for the book was.
So the real inspiration is, like, your grandfather is my mother. My mother is a legal immigrant. She became a U.S. citizen when I was in kindergarten, which is around right. the same age as this little girl whose father became a U.S. citizen. And after the ceremony, wants to take his family on a trip to Washington, D.C., our nation's beautiful capital, to yeah. celebrate that. And she's kind of annoyed about it because she's going to miss a birthday party, and she doesn't get what the big deal is about becoming an American anyway.
Right.
And frankly, I have to say, when I was in kindergarten and my mom became a citizen, I didn't really get it either. You know, I didn't understand why it was such a big deal to her. But I do believe that that process of becoming a citizen, it's much like I'm Catholic. We always say the best Catholics are converts. Some of the best Americans, the most patriotic Americans, are immigrants because they weren't born here. They chose this and they went through a process
right.
that you are right. We are forgetting how beautiful that process is and what it does and how it transforms people into Americans. It is part of that that beautiful journey. And so I do believe that there is a deliberate conflation of illegal and legal immigration. And it's about time we teach our kids not just the difference between that, but also there aren't enough books out there that are yeah. about loving America and understanding why it's so special.
It's certainly deliberate. That's for sure. It's done on yeah. purpose by CNN, MSNBC, CNBC, all the big three networks. They're doing it on purpose. They never really say illegal immigration anymore. They're just saying immigration. Or they're not calling people illegal migrants or migrants trying to get here illegally or illegal aliens. What yeah. they're saying is undocumented migrants. I don't even know what that means. They have documents, just not our documents. So the conflation is happening, and it's equal in confusion. So yeah. is this book one for all ages? Is this really to teach yeah. children? Here's why you should be proud of your country, and maybe teach parents. Here's how you have the conversation.
Absolutely. So I would say from 4 to 12 would be the range. Okay. I think that if you're a grandparent, you go to the children's bookstores these days, what you'll see is this crazy obsession in children's literature with diversity, which is a fine and wonderful thing, but yeah. that's really about what makes us different. And this book is about what unites us as Americans. What are those values? And in some places, those values aren't really talked about, maybe even denigrated, but the values are our love of freedom that unites us, our American history, our pursuit of the American dream. Native born and immigrants both want that. So this is the conversation we need to have as kids. And we live in a time where everyone's complaining about how divisive the politics are and everyone's looking to the White House or Congress to fix it. And I just think these issues really start at home. And I think once we start inculcating our kids with the idea of this is what it means to be American, these are important values, it's good to be patriotic, we are exceptional, the Capitol is a beautiful place yeah. to discover. I hope people take a trip to the Capitol after reading my book.
I hope they do, too. It's Rachel Campos Duffy. The name of the book is Paloma Wants to Be Lady Freedom. It's a very interesting things that you just brought up, and I want to refer to my heritage again.
Yeah.
My grandfather was right off a boat from Bari, Italy. He came in 1928, and I once had a conversation with him. I said, Grandpa, why don't your kids speak Italian? He said, because of Joey. I wanted them to be Americans. I didn't want them to be Italians. I wanted them to be Americans who had Italian heritage. I said, well, Grandpa, why do you say Pagliarulo and not Pagliarulo? He said, because I wanted to pronounce it the English way. And that's really what you're talking about. We used to believe, in me growing up, now I'm older than you are, but growing up, we learned that the melting pot was good. We learned that we're all for one and one for all. We love this country together. Sure, we look different, we sound different, we talk and walk differently. So what? We're still all Americans first, and we would always chant USA, USA, USA. There's such a division now, as you said, that getting back to the basics, and I love this, how old is Paloma in the book, does it say?
Paloma's about, I would say she's about 5 or 6 years old,
okay.
Because she actually wants to, in the book, she wants to become Lady, she actually wants to be Lady Freedom,
That's great.
Gorgeous statue on the top of the Capitol, and she fantasizes about how she can get up there, and will the sword be too heavy? So she's young enough to actually envision herself as a Lady Freedom, and the point of the book at the end is that all of us, you, what you're doing on your show, what I do on Fox News, we're yeah. all defending freedom. We all are Lady Freedoms, if you will. And I want to go back to what you said about your grandfather. My mother was the same way. She taught us that English is the language of opportunity in this country. Right. She wanted us to succeed. I grew up in the 70s when we talked about the melting pot. I don't know if you have kids in school right now. They don't talk about that anymore. They talk about the salad bowl. So that kind of tells you how far we've come.
Really? We're calling it a salad bowl now?
Yeah, they're calling it a salad bowl. I didn't even know that. Yep, they're calling it a salad bowl. It's not a melting pot. And also, you know, again, back to this idea of English as this unifying language. I mean, I'm Hispanic. I speak Spanish. I'm very proud that I can speak Spanish.
Right.
And I use it a lot. Yeah. I use it a lot. But I am an American, first and foremost. And I think we need to come back to that idea. When I was growing up in the 70s, that's when they started all this experimentation with bilingual education.
Right.
And they took my brother out of mainstream classes to, you know, because based just on his last name being Hispanic, and my mother, who could barely speak English, she was just teaching herself English at the time, went to them with her thick Spanish accent, and she demanded to know why her kid was getting taken out of that class. And right. they explained their 70s stuff, and she said, listen, if you want to talk to somebody with an accent, you can talk to me. But my kids are going to learn English because they are American.
Yeah, that's a great story. And it's a story that's not being taught to 5- and 6-year-olds today. Yeah. I mean, many of us are teaching our children that at home, but that should be taught in the public schools that we fund and finance. It's Rachel Campos Duffy. She is a contributor on Fox News Channel, the wife of Sean Duffy, great representative from Wisconsin. Her book is out. It's called Paloma Wants to Be Lady Frida. Is it available everywhere that you can normally get books right now, or is it going to come out soon?
No, it's at bookstores. If it's not, please demand it, because I'm telling you, there's an agenda out there, even among the gatekeepers of children's literature. So please demand it. But it is right now on Amazon, the number one children's book in the country. And I encourage everyone to get it because, you know, we sit around and we complain about what's happening at the school. And I agree, our taxpayer money goes to the schools and we all hope that it happens there, or we all wish the culture was a little more patriotic and we wish we could go to a football game that wasn't, you know, didn't have football players kneeling down. But in the end, we can't look to the White House. We can't look to sports. We can't look to culture. We have to start in our home. And we have to start with these kinds of resources and really kind of supporting this kind of literature for our kids. So have it in your house. Give one to your school library or your teacher, your kid's teacher. But we have to take responsibility. It's not enough to just complain about it.
I think it's an interesting point. Do you think that schools would accept this book? When I was growing up, when you were growing up, I think they would have. And I think they would have taught with this. And we also talked about the differences, the diversity among us, as well as the melting pot is a term I learned in school. I think you probably did too. It's not being taught now. It's actually a bad thing. And all immigration is all good, and they're all good people. Everything's fine. We can't point out the fact that if you break the law to get here to begin with, you're probably not somebody who's going to pay attention to the laws while you're here. So why not focus on somebody like your family, unlike my family, like Paloma in the book? Why not focus on the positive? And because I think a lot of times, because of the division, and maybe you've got a comment on this, those who are really, really against illegal immigration end up being really, really against all immigration. And that's a bad thing. Those who are really, really for illegal immigration end up forgetting about the legal immigrants who do it the right way and wait 10 years to get citizenship. This kind of book can bring us all together. What are your thoughts about that division in society? Is that what you were talking about earlier?
I am, but let's just start from the beginning. I would say, and I think you probably have this experience, that those who do it legally are the most incensed, the most angry at those who get away with doing it illegally. So that's one thing that doesn't get often talked about. I think that the process of becoming a citizen is being devalued. I mean, if you conflate illegal and legal immigration, it devalues citizenship. And so I think, this is a conversation we need to have. But I think it really starts even before immigration with just understanding and loving America, which in some corners of this country is considered, you know, not polite or politically incorrect.
You're really not allowed to love the country. You're not even making that up. You're not even being exaggerated. You're not exaggerating. If you say you love the United States, you're called a something supremacist, a bad guy, a racist, and you love slavery. That's dumb. Yeah. We need to get back to the basics, as you said. Your book does that. Paloma Wants to Be Lady Freedom. I think that in a book like this, and I can't wait to read it, I've got a 10-year-old, I've got a 4-year-old, I've also got, you know, people that are almost 30 that are my children. But having said that, I want them all to see it. I want them all to read it. I want my grandchildren to read it, because this will, I hope, bring us back to a point of focus that this is the greatest land on planet Earth, and there's a good reason why it is.
And there's a reason why people, I mean, risk their lives, wait 15 years, do whatever it takes to get into this country. Nobody is lining up to get into Venezuela. Nobody's lining up to get into Cuba. And so this is important. And I love that you brought up that you're a grandparent, because what I go around and speak to women especially, but also men, all over the country, and they seem very, grandparents these days seem very timid. You don't seem like the type, but other grandparents seem very timid about sort of stepping on toes and, you know, worried about their liberal daughter-in-law who might be upset if they say certain things. These are your grandkids. And I think as parents, as grandkids, we often underestimate how much power we have to influence our kids. We are our first, most important teacher. So they may have a liberal professor at, you know, at their university, or a liberal teacher in their school, or there may be liberal people, you know, sending messages through the culture and social media. But in the end, you are the most important teacher. And so if you're not talking about these things with your kids, if you're not trying to inculcate them with these values, believe me, somebody else is. And so grandparents, get the book for your grandkids, and don't be as shy, even if that, you know, son-in-law or daughter-in-law is, you know, is liberal or doesn't believe in these American values or thinks this is too, God forbid, overtly patriotic. Yeah. Get it anyway, because you're the last best hope, and America is the last best hope.
The people in my family are afraid to talk to me if they're liberal. So that's where we are there.
That's one way to handle it.
Exactly. Rachel Campos Duffy, the name of the book is Paloma Wants to Be Lady Freedom. Go and get it right now. You'll see her on Fox News Channel all the time. A great contributor there. And also, make sure you say hello to your husband for me, who's Sean Duffy, U.S. Representative out of Wisconsin. Thanks a million, Rachel.
Thank you, Joe. Really
appreciate having her on. You know, it's interesting. I kept on saying Lady Liberty, by the way. The name of the book is Paloma Wants to Be Lady Freedom. It's interesting because she brings up points that I hadn't thought about, and I do this for a living. And the point is, we don't talk about legal immigrants enough. And there are tons of legal immigrants. We don't talk about enough that those who are here legally, or those who are citizens, or those who are born in this country who are Hispanic, don't like illegal immigration. In fact, they hate it because it denigrates their culture. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense. So it's a very important book. It's one that I think should be in every school. It won't be because of how schools are so far left-leaning and progressive. But go and get it for yourself. Paloma Wants to Be Lady Freedom. Your thoughts about that when we come back. 1-800-501-7080. JoePags.com. Stay right here. Great to have you. It's the weekend with Joe Pags. 1-800-501-7080. 1-800-501-7080. Go to the website, joepags.com, and go peruse, look around, sign up for the social medias, get yourself on that email list, too, so you get an email to find out what guests we'll have on. I'll have Dr. Marty McCary after the bottom of the hour. He's an expert on healthcare. He's a surgeon at Johns Hopkins, and also an advisor to the Trump administration when it comes to health care. Important information that you probably don't know about your health care. We talk about Obamacare and how what a boondoggle that was, and much more. So make sure you stick around. And also, doctors leaving the industry because they can't afford to keep their offices open. Why is that happening? Prescription drug prices. What's up with that? Opiates. Why are we addicted? All right, so we talk about all that at the bottom of the hour. Also, before we head out of here, it'll be the PAGS parody, Hey Beto. If you missed it in the first hour, we'll play it for you again in this hour. Let me go to line one. It's going to be Georgia. Actually, Brian, who's in Georgia. Hi, Brian.
Hey, Joe. Hey, thanks for having me on again.
You bet, man. What's going on?
Oh, always good to talk with you. Yeah, I just caught a little bit. I just got off work, so I'm just catching a little bit about what you're talking about. But I wanted to ask you what you thought. You know, there's something that, you know, when everybody's always talking about the, you know, illegal immigration versus legal immigration, good versus bad, and, you know, everybody wants to, make you out as a bad guy if you're either for or against one way or the other. You know, at what point in our country was it so important that we had to make such a matter of the differences of where we come from that it had to turn into hate? You know, when did we stop embracing everything and embracing each other?
Well, I would think that's a process of division. And I talk about the left in America a lot because it's important that the left is dividing. And what I mean is if we can stop black people from talking to white people and white people from talking to Hispanics, and if we can somehow delineate between illegal immigrants and legal immigrants, and either you love them all or you hate them all. If we can do that, it will divide the country and stop us from talking to each other. If we're not talking to each other, we'll turn to Big Brother government for all of our answers. This is what the far left wants. For 8 years, Obama wanted to say, I'm the king of the earth. If you need something, come to me. We'll put you on entitlements. If you have a question, come to me. I'll give you the right answer. Those of us who are conservative, we want to talk to each other. We want to talk about how great America is, about how great immigration can be, and stop dividing us on the lines of sexual orientation or gender or race or ethnicity or whatever. So when did it start happening? When the left realized that it was losing its grip on power. And the way you get that power back is go back to their old tricks when the Democrats were for segregation, when they were for slavery, when they were for the KKK. When Democrats did all that stuff, they had all the power. The power is lost because people believe in freedom and liberty. I really think that's probably the answer.
Yeah. That makes a lot.
I can't give you a date, though. I can't say like it was 1987 or something.
Yeah, it just seems like, obviously, I think in a lot of ways we're a lot worse off than what we were. You know, I mean, I grew up in the 70s, so, you know, it wasn't until I joined the military that I even really experienced any kind of, you know, what I would call racism. You know, I didn't even know what a lot of the racial slurs were until I heard them for the first time in the military.
Well, it sounds like you were probably raised right, and then you were exposed to the fact that there is some bad stuff out there. But listen, I appreciate it, Brian. I got to run. At the end of the day, it's very simple. The party of separation and racism and division has always been the Democrat Party. The Republican Party, I believe, was even formed to stop that. And somehow they put it on its ear. They've got it backward. Keep it here. Dr. McCary, when we come back.
This is The Weekend with Joe Pags.
Great radio stations across the land, JoePags.com, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email. It's all right there. The live video feed, too. The Weekend with Joe Pags. Thanks a lot for stopping by. 1-800-501-7080. 1-800-501-7080. Lots of questions revolve around our health care. You've got people on the left saying health care should be a right. Medicare for all. Let's spend trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars giving everybody health care. Not going to say how we're going to pay for it. But why are we in this predicament? Health care is something that was never this controversial. It was something that we could go and get at our jobs. We could buy it otherwise. It wasn't forced upon us where we had to buy it or else you're going to be fined or maybe jailed by the IRS if you don't do what they say. This whole takeover of health care by the government, 1/6 of the economy, it was nutty in 2009 with Obamacare. So I got with Dr. Marty McCary. He is a surgeon at Johns Hopkins University. He is also an advisor to the Trump administration when it comes to healthcare. Doctor, I appreciate you. How are you?
Good to be with you, Joe.
Yeah, really glad to have you on. The Price We Pay. This is a book that I think that we all need to go and read because there are things about healthcare today that we have no clue about. 10 years ago, we kind of had a clue a little bit before Obamacare, and then it came in, and everything we were told wasn't true. And we're dealing with the consequences now. So if I just met you, and I kind of just did, what's the overview of the book? And then I'll get into some specifics if that's okay.
Well, Joe, there's a lot of stuff that everyday folks, people like you and me, can do to fix healthcare on both on an individual basis, on how we choose care, to negotiating your bills, to how your business runs and picks insurance and picks pharmacy plans, all the way to the policy level, which means what our politicians need to hear, because right now we've got a swamp in Washington, D.C., and those special interests are dominating the discussion.
What's interesting is people didn't seem to understand this, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, you're the expert, but insurance companies, people thought they would argue against a takeover of the healthcare industry by the government if it weren't in the best interest of the people. The insurance companies didn't balk. In fact, they wanted Obamacare. My argument has always been, doctor, well, of course they wanted Obamacare. The government is now making everybody buy their product. Why wouldn't the insurance companies be for this? Like, oh, this is great. If you don't buy my insurance, you're going to be fined by the government. So the insurance companies rode along because they knew they'd be adding new customers, didn't they?
Well, Joe, it was the dream of any business is having a law requiring everybody to buy your product. It would be like a law requiring every American to pay you to listen to your radio show.
Right.
I mean, that's the sort of law that we got. And the reality is, you know, it looks like the country's divided. But let me tell you something. If you break down healthcare, as I try to do in the book, The Price We Pay, there is 100% consensus that what is going on has turned into shenanigans, price gouging, predatory billing, and people are mad right now. Everyday Americans are getting crushed. And we just finished a study out of Johns Hopkins that shows that 48% of all federal spending, I'll say it again, 48% of every dollar that the federal government spends is on health care.
That's amazing. Dr. Marty McCary, the name of the book is The Price We Pay. He's a Johns Hopkins surgeon and also an advisor to the Trump administration on healthcare. So, by the way, I've been working on that law to make everybody listen to my radio show. It hasn't worked yet. I'm trying. So we have that problem. But what happened in earnest very quickly, we were lied to, like your doctor, keep your doctor, like your plan, keep your plan, save $2,500 a year. It actually cost us all 30 and 40% more every year for healthcare that we already had. Doctors started leaving practice. They simply couldn't afford to keep the lights on and pay their staffs. And we're seeing really good people that really cared about their patients no longer in the industry. Did you find that as well?
Well, doctors have certainly gotten hammered in many different ways over the last 5 and 10 years. I mean, look at burnout rates among physicians.
Yeah.
They're at record high levels. People are wondering why we are prescribing 10 times the number of medications we prescribed 5 years ago, or 10 years, sorry, double the number of medications we prescribed 10 years ago.
Right.
It's because burnout is rampant. And it's the regulatory burden. We spend $16 billion on just reporting stuff up. I mean, that's the equivalent of every doctor having half of a helper in their clinic.
Wow.
Ask them what they'd prefer.
Yeah, it's Dr. Marty McCary. It's M-A-K-A-R-Y. Get his book. It's called The Price We Pay, a great insight into what's happening with our healthcare system. Why do we have an opioids problem? Has that been ramped up because of Obamacare and socialized healthcare, or are they disconnected? And why are they being prescribed so much? And I'll give you a quick example. I had a hernia surgery last week. I could have had opioids if I wanted. I don't want them. I don't like the way I feel on them. I just took like extra strength acetaminophen and stuff like that, and it helped me get through just fine. Why are so many people prescribed opioids? What's the story? Is it pharmaceutical companies pushing it? Why would doctors prescribe it so much? Because we know that it's incredibly addictive.
You know, we've made a series of terrible mistakes. I'm a surgeon, Joe. I feel horrible about the number of patients I gave too many opioids to after surgery.
Yeah.
I'm sure some became addicted, and I was unaware. It was with good intentions and bad science and a lot of the swamp and special interests and pharma pushing a lot of this stuff. The reality is, if we look at the broader crisis in healthcare, the opioid epidemic is just one tiny piece of it. That's just one medication. Look at the mass overtreatment problem. You know, healthcare is not a subject where there should be opinions. We should be looking at the facts. And in the book, The Price We Pay, I identify the three drivers why healthcare is crushing us: middlemen, pricing failures, and inappropriate care.
Let's go through them. Who are the middlemen that you're dealing with? The Price We Pay is the name of the book. I want you to go and get it. Who are the middlemen? Because there are doctors, there are patients, there are pharmaceutical companies, and there's somebody in between. Are they distributors? Are they? Who are they?
You know, most hospitals were started by churches. They had incredible charters to be a safe haven. It was the doctor and the patient. Today, our services as doctors treating patients are being bought and sold on a grid. You look at the tens of thousands of millionaires we've created in healthcare that are not patient-facing, and look at the industry. Look at PBMs, something every employer, every small business in America buys their products. They don't smart competitively. They don't understand them. We don't teach healthcare literacy. I wanted to do what The Big Short did for the financial services industry, is explain this industry so everybody makes good choices.
Are we the only country, doctor, that deals with these high explosive prices of pharmaceuticals? I know about some legislators busing people into Canada from Michigan and the other states on the border just to go get some cheaper pharmaceuticals.
It's a disgrace. We're the only country with this middleman called the PBM, or Pharmacy Benefit Manager. Okay. We're the only country with so many middle layers. We're the only country spending 48% of all federal spend on healthcare in all of its hidden form. I mean, we've got to stop. I mean, people are getting crushed out there. Yeah. Most people don't live like me and my medical expert colleagues. Half of America has less than $400 of cash in savings. I mean, we got to think about the consequences of this out of control industry.
Yeah, and if a family member gets sick or you get sick and you don't have a very good insurance, you've got $400, you're in trouble.
You're in trouble, and it may make sense to get your drugs from Canada. You know, Imagine going on a travel website and there's no prices. And the airline said, we can't give you a price. We just don't know if there's going to be a delay or a cancellation or if you'll consume a beverage on the flight. We'd say that's absurd. We'd say the lack of transparency is promoting price gouging. And that's exactly what we have. And that's exactly what Trump's executive order on price transparency aims to address.
Dr. Marty McCary, his book is called The Price We Pay. I want you to go and get it. You outline in the book how poor communities especially are dealing with an epidemic of unnecessary procedures or treatments. What is that? This is the first I'm hearing it. What is that?
Well, it turns out that not only do we have predatory billing in healthcare today, we have predatory medical services. A survey of doctors nationwide done at Johns Hopkins for the entire country, randomly selecting doctors, 2,100 respondents said that about one in five things we do in healthcare is unnecessary. I mean, that opioid crisis you mentioned is just one piece of it. Wow. But people need to get a second opinion, ask questions, and recognize that we have a crisis of appropriateness right now in some areas of medicine.
Well, I'm glad you're educating people, doctor, because I got to be honest with you. When the doctor says so, you just sort of listen. Yeah. And that's kind of the way we grew up. My mother said, listen to your teachers, your doctors, the firemen, the policemen, and so on. My dad said that, too. So to question them almost makes you feel guilty. What you're saying is be skeptical and go ahead and get a second opinion.
But we don't want to create hysteria, Joe. But people need to know that there's a lot of variation in how doctors practice. There's doctors that practice sound medicine and good judgment, and doctors that, you know, a little more trigger happy and being willing to do things. There's an incredible public trust in the medical profession. And my concern right now is these money games, predatory billing, and price gouging are now threatening that great public trust in the medical profession.
I love that you wrote the book, doctor, because the bottom line is we don't know much about healthcare. We don't know much about health insurance. We don't know much about how it works. Again, when I went into for my surgery last week, I gave them my HSA card, and there was some money on there, but not enough, and I had to write a check to make up the difference. I have no idea how it works, and I probably should have had the same health insurance for 15 years. I can't imagine people who are just getting health insurance or just hitting the employment roles, and they probably have no clue whatsoever. So the best advice for somebody, and by the way, go and get this book, The Price We Pay, from Dr. Marty McCary. He is a surgeon at Johns Hopkins and just a great mind, and I'm glad to have you on. What advice do you have for somebody who just doesn't get it? I mean, I try to get it a little bit better because I do this for a living, but the most people are going to go to soccer practice and make dinner or go to a movie or spend some time with the family on the weekend. They're not thinking about this all the time until it's time that you really need it. What advice do you have?
Well, I couldn't agree with you more, Joe. The fog of medical billing and the Bermuda Triangle of collections groups and hospitals and the billing departments and insurance, people are getting crushed, and it's not their fault, right? They work, they have a job, they have health insurance. They need to know their rights. You know, you can't just show up and mow your lawn and then send you a bill for $4,000 without a contract.
Right.
And we have that predatory billing. People should know their rights. We've got 20 ways you can negotiate your medical bills up on our website, restoringmedicine.org. They should know they can make better choices in choosing pharmacy plans and insurance and how to get their drugs, the questions to ask their doctors. And on a policy level, people need to hear from everyday Americans. So it's not the special interests of the swamp that are dominating the debate, putting up some false decision in front of us. I believe there's great consensus in the United States on healthcare. We just need to create healthcare literacy for every American. And that's what I try to do in this book.
So well said. The price we pay, get the book. Is it out now or is it about to be out?
It's out. It just came out and doing very well. Would love for as many people to read it as popular.
Absolutely. The Price We Pay is the name of the book. His name is Dr. Marty, M-A-K-A-R-Y, McCary. And it's restoringmedicine.org. That's the website?
Restoringmedicine.org and the book, The Price We Pay.
We really appreciate the doctor coming on. Dr. Marty McCary, very, very smart guy. Go and get his book, The Price We Pay, and get to that website as well. Your thoughts, 1-800-501-7080, 1-800-501-7080, joepags.com. When we come back, I'll have my Pags parody, Hey Beto, of course, to the tune of Hey Mambo, Mambo Italiano. So make sure you stick around for that. Plus, we've got your phone calls, too. Keep it here on the weekend. Hey, great to have you. It's the weekend with Joe Pags. 1-800-501-7080, joepags.com. All the pertinent contact information right there. We appreciate you stopping by. Phone calls coming in. We'll get to you in a second. We appreciate you doing that. And before I do that, though, I want to give you the Pags parody. Gave it to you in hour number one. Some of you just joined us now, and you might not have heard it. I like using Robert Francis Beto O'Rourke as a punching bag. Figuratively, obviously. The guy is a fool. He live streams himself making a burger, and just it looked inedible. He live streamed himself getting his teeth cleaned. Live streamed himself doing something. I don't know. I don't know what he's doing. And then he says the F word as often as he can. Calls the president the most vile names as often as he can. There's just something wrong with the guy. But his name is Robert Francis O'Rourke, a fourth generation Irish American. Calls himself Beto, Beto, which is short for either Umberto or Roberto in Spanish. So I guess he's pretending that growing up, his Hispanic friends were calling him Beto or Beto. And I don't necessarily buy it. I think he's culturally appropriating. And I think that he's trying to make people believe that he's Hispanic. Now, I live in Texas. And we of course, kept Ted Cruz. He tried to be Ted Cruz. That didn't work out very well. But there are a lot of people in Texas who actually believe like his mother's from Mexico or something. It's not true. He's a white guy. Nothing wrong with being a white guy. But that's what he is. He's pretending he's something different. So I had to do a little something. My people music based on Hey Mambo, Mambo Italiano. Here's Hey Beto. Back to El Paso. Polls are down. Nowhere to go. Why he's running, I don't know. But wait a minute, here I go. Hey, Beto, you're not a Mexicano. Hey, Beto, even when you eat a taco, go, go, go. Put down those Doritos, you're a white dude acting like your parents came across the border. Hey, Beto, don't wanna see you skateboard. Hey, Beto, why do you use the F word? Hey, Beto, you're not a Mexicano. Try an enchilada, but it doesn't change your father. Hey, Beto, you wanna take away our guns? You'd open up the border for fun. Not sure why you'd run. You lose by a ton. You're not the chosen one. Oh, hey, Beto. Can't seem to cook a patty. Hey, Beto. Your poll numbers are so crappy. Hey, Beto. To El Paso, get off the stump. Did you really think you had a chance to beat President Trump? Beto. Not Mexicano. That's what I do for you people. A little Beto. Hey, Beto, or Beto, not Mexicano. Stop by Twitter if you want the link to go and watch that. We actually did it on Newsmax TV the other day, and they put a little video of him dancing or something on it. So go and check it out. It's Twitter, and look up Joe Talk Show, JoeTalkShow, Joe Talk Show, and you can go and watch the video of that. Hey, Beto, you're not a Mexicano. Let me go to Danny, who's in Washington. Danny, what's going on? Hi.
Hi. Say, I was down in San Francisco a while ago, and out of an alley came three guys. Two of them looked like lumberjacks, and one of them looked like a hippie right out of the 60s, from his sandaled feet to his long hair and his colorful vest. When he stubbed his toe on a needle, and he's jumping up and down on one foot, and he slipped on a used condom, and I swear he would have busted his head, but he got real lucky, and it landed in a pile of human feces.
All right, good stuff, Danny. We appreciate you. So there you go. Danny setting the stage for what you might, I mean, obviously it didn't happen, but what might happen should you go to San Francisco. Let me go back at it and say hello and welcome to Pastor George. I love that you call in. I've got about a minute or so for you. Make it happen.
Joe?
Yes, sir. You're on the air. I've got about a minute or so. We're going to run out of time. What's happening, Pastor?
Let me just say this to you, Joe. I'm a first-generation Black, and the tribute today is to Donald Trump and his parents. But let me just say this to you. I need extra time because I have a poem and a tribute that I made to Donald Trump's mother, and I need to say something about his father. And we have the greatest president in the United States right now, which is Donald Trump, and his parents came here as immigrants. His mother gave him a Bible, and Donald Trump has become the greatest president since Ronald Reagan, and maybe even more, because Donald Trump is trying, by the grace of Almighty God, to drain the swamp. And that goes for the Republicans and the Democrats, because they have some hidden agendas, but Donald Trump is standing firm. God bless President Trump. God bless his wife, Melania, because he couldn't do what he's doing without such a good wife. And on top of that, she's a fox. God bless the United States of America. And God bless all of the immigrants that came in here legally, including my mother and my father.
Yeah. I Pastor, we love hearing from you. We appreciate that. She's a fox. Nothing wrong with Melania Trump. Kidding me? It is. That's it. The weekend is just about up. Glad to be back this weekend. We're back again next weekend. Check out JoePags.com for affiliates around where you are. For Anna, it's Joe. We'll see you next week.
This is The Weekend with Joe Pags.